minutes ago. Looking real good in my passport photo. Oh, no. Amateur Traveler, episode 384. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about coffee houses and palaces and, of course, music as we go to Vienna, Austria. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. This week's episode of the Amateur Traveler is again sponsored by Viator. In Viator, there are 65 different activities in Vienna, including simple things like a transfer from the airport, a visit to the Vienna Boys Choir, and day trips to see the Danube. To give Amateur Traveler credit for your trip, go to amateurtraveler.com/tours. Before we get into this week's interview, I do have three news stories for you. If your name happens to be Andrea, Barry, Chantal, Dorian, Aaron, or a number of other names that will be potential hurricanes this year, if your name is one of those, then Breezes in the Bahamas will give you $100 off your stay. If you have been around as long as I, you may remember when the only way to book online was with AOL with Easy Saber, and then the first thing on the web was probably Travelocity, which was owned by the Saber Group. Well, Travelocity has been competing with Expedia since the 90s, and I think it just lost because the Travelocity site will now be using Expedia. Speaking of people who lost, tourists in Venice sat down at one of the cafes in the popular St. Mark Square to have a coffee. The coffees were a little on the expensive side. They didn't know there was also an $8 fee to listen to the music. They didn't notice that on the menu. So four cups of coffee cost $130. Watch for fine print. For links to all three of those stories, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to this show Gerhard Strass-Schwantner, who is coming to us from Vienna, where he is a tour guide and a museum owner. And we'll talk more about Gerhard's museum in a bit. Gerhard, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello. Hello, Chris.
So when I asked the Vienna Tourism Board for someone who I could have come on the Amateur Traveler and talk to us about that wonderful city, they recommended Gerhard. So Gerhard, why should someone go to Vienna?
Because it's a nice blend of tradition and modern, so old and new.
And when we say Vienna, actually, I didn't put it in a country, but we're talking about Vienna, Austria. And you say old and new. Tell me a little bit about the old, and then tell me a little bit about the new.
Yeah, the old. It was once long, long time ago. It was an important city in the world. Via Vienna, the Habsburg dynasty administrated a huge empire, Central Europe. 17 Central European countries administrated via Vienna, via this dynasty. And they left a lot of great buildings behind. So we wouldn't like to live under these dynasties, under these emperors and dictators. But today we are very happy that they left everything behind for us, which we can use now today in tourism. All their palaces, all the culture, all the galleries and museums, collections.
Mm-hmm. And then the new.
The new is, since maybe some 10, 15 years, in Vienna, a big change. A lot of influx from outside. Us Viennese don't create children very much. We like children, yes, but not our own, because they're expensive, they're loud, and whatever. So it's a lot of influx coming from outside. Now, especially from within the European Union, and that's good for every city. A new cultural input, and a lot of little new businesses set up in the markets, a lot of nice hip cafeterias, and a lot of cultural events happening every night, every day. It's just a lot happening in the city.
Okay. If I were to come to Vienna, and I actually haven't been to Vienna, I've been to Austria, but have not yet been to Vienna, what kind of itinerary would you recommend? What should I see in what order?
I would rather maybe see one or two museums, but rather focus on what I think a great way to spend time in Vienna, coffee places. When it's it's warm and it's summertime, and we have usually very, very nice, long, mild summers, usually, even quite a bit hot, very hot in the summertime in June, July, August, September, but otherwise quite mild. Just hang out in coffee places, coffee houses, outdoors, indoors. That's good atmosphere. You can watch people. You can see a lot. So Vienna has a lot of that to offer.
And I don't know that everyone is picturing what you're picturing when you say that. I think some people here are picturing the local Starbucks, but we're talking about places that have a little more history than that.
Yeah, it's like we have a kind of coffee house tradition here. Like the British had the tea sessions. Here it's rather the coffee. And in Vienna, we have still coffee houses. Maybe now not really in the main tourism central area, because in a coffee house you can sit for hours actually with a cup of coffee. You can read newspapers, you can watch the others. In Vienna we nickname the coffee house a kind of the extended living room. Mm-hmm. But with this you don't make very much money. People hang out for hours with a cup of coffee. So it's rather a bit away from the centers. But you can, in the guidebooks, etc., you can find a lot of nice places, very central.
And when you say a cup of coffee, I think I want to say that in Vienna, I also want to have something a little sweet next to the coffee.
Yeah, that's ideal. That's exactly it. So all these calorie bombs, 100% poison, but nice tasting. The tortas, the cakes, the pastries. I mean, schnitzel, all right, huh? But more important, the sweets in Vienna.
Okay. And what else should I see in Vienna? We've got to spend some time in a coffee house, but how can I say I've been in if I haven't seen what?
Be on foot. I think that's the best, because the inner city, it's mainly pedestrian zones, and the inner city, that's the important thing.
Right.
First of all, Vienna has a circular lane around the center. Some other cities have that too. In Vienna, it's 3 miles long, the circle, which was the former wall. So everything in Vienna, which is culture, shopping, restaurants, coffee houses, it's all within a circle of 3 miles. And that's the one center, not like London, not like Paris, where we have lots of centers. In Vienna, it's all compact and neat, squeezed in between these 3 miles.
Okay.
So on foot, you can see a lot. Or you take the streetcar, the tramway, the streetcar on this circle, around the center, on the so-called Ring Road, very nice architecture, where they have then all the important buildings like Opera House and like City Hall, Parliament, University, the Imperial Theater. It's a nice trip on the streetcar touring the circle.
Now, you mentioned the Opera House. My recollection is that the real opera season in Vienna isn't really when the tourists are there in the summertime, but it's really more for the locals in the fall and wintertime. Do I have that correct?
You're right with the times, but it's not really for the locals, because the main tourist season in Vienna is anyhow not in July, August. So July, August, when the opera house is closed, because it's state opera, and you know the civil servants are not allowed to work in the summertime. They already sometimes work in the winter, so that's already enough for them. And so rather from September to June, so when the opera is open, that's also a main season here, because July, August, most tourists don't want to really be so much in the hot cities. So they rather hang out in Greece or in Spain or wherever at the beaches. Mm-hmm. So here, I think the main season for tourism would be actually, and especially for people that are interested in operas, this kind of tourism, they rather don't come July, August.
Okay. I didn't realize that would be the... It makes sense, though, because really you come to Vienna, I want to say, for culture.
I would say so too, and many people forget that. Huh? People come here for 2-3 days, and just a minute ago I said just to do one or two museums, but we have a lot. We have about 80, 85 quite high-class museums here.
Oh my!
Mainly private collections from before, from the high aristocracy, from the ruling elite. And it's true, it's private collections means there's a lot of not-so-important things, but each of these 85 museums has some real special items, some world cultural heritage. So it's great in Vienna to stay some days and to look for the cream in all these museums.
And let's sort out the museums a little bit here. We have some museums that the guidebook are going to tell me to go to, and you're going to say, don't really waste your time there. But instead, there's a couple gems that I really should come to. And then let's also talk about your museum. So where should I go? What would you recommend?
I personally like atmospheres like the Museum of Fine Arts. It's the private Habsburg painting collection. Sure, the Habsburgs have been a Catholic dynasty, and I was with Americans in there. They said to me, oh my God, it's too much baby Jesus for me. But if baby Jesus is painted by Raphael and by all these great painters, that's okay, kind of. And even if you don't like this Renaissance and Baroque, also altar paintings, the Habsburgs, Catholics collected also this kind of stuff in Greek and Roman mythology. The space, it's just unbelievable that the family was able to build all that for themselves. So that the house was built around an existing painting collection. So the whole house corresponds with the paintings. It's just luxury. It's just money. It's just like neo-Baroque to show off.
And when you say Baroque, we're really talking about a style that doesn't go for subtle. When I think of a Baroque style, I'm thinking of, well, this is kind of a response to the, in the north here, we had the Reformation, and this was sort of a Catholic response to the Reformation, an explosion of art, but it tended to be gilded. It tended to be fancy and ornate and elaborate.
Right. Because, as you said, Counter-Reformation, the Protestants, they didn't use gold and so much colors in their churches, and the Catholics did. And they said to the people, you see, that's what's good for God. God wants the gold. God wants the color. God wants the splendor. So that's a part of the, like what the Jesuits introduced. Sure, this is Baroque, but I think Baroque is Baroque. It's somehow great. In English, you call it showing off. That was what it was all about.
Right, exactly. Okay.
So if you had the money, you had to show it.
Okay.
Today, we have still a few very wealthy families in Vienna. They all live behind plain facades. So today, it's exactly opposite, like in the Baroque days. Today, you don't want to risk anything. You don't want to show. Today, you buy helicopters, you buy yachts, but you don't build these huge palaces with these enormous gardens and so on. To representation, that was Baroque. Show it.
Mentioned palaces and gardens. Particular place that we should see?
Kind of a must, I think, in Vienna. Even everybody goes there. There are 3 million paying visitors to go through one of the summer palaces of the Habsburg dynasty, which is Schönbrunn.
And Schönbrunn, so that's beautiful, and I didn't catch the second word there.
Schönbrunn. Brunn means something like fountain, water well.
Got
so
it.
Beautiful
okay.
Fountain, beautiful water well means this Schönbrunn. That's a little bit off the center, but you can reach it with a metro or with a taxi. It's very easy in Vienna, everything, transportation. And I mean, you could go, let's say, in the late afternoon when there's not so much tourism no more, but come for the gardens. The gardens are enormous. It's beautiful. I mean, it's this great Baroque gardens, French style, Versailles style.
Okay.
And very compact. Schönbrunn is not this huge like Versailles. That's maybe a not so bad thing for a tourism. And it has the furniture.
Oh, okay. It's not as sparse as Versailles.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Yeah, but there are so many Baroque palaces. That's the problem with Vienna. It's a bit too much Baroque. Baroque. But yeah, the Belvedere palaces are great too. I mean, it's maybe they are closer by the center and it's thrilling. It's beautiful architecture. It's just, and that's the thing I'm a little bit frightened of. I mean, people come to Vienna that they got lost in this world and they use up all their energy and they forget that there's nice things like the markets, for example. Very nearby the opera house is the Naschmarkt. It's about half a mile long. It's a lot of stalls where you can eat food from all over the world. There's, of course, the picturesque fruit and vegetable market. And there is lots of little hip cafeterias with music, partly a DJ lineup in the evenings. That's all on the market. It's for young people. It's for not young people. So it's just nice to stroll through. And every Saturday, for example, like today, when you're at the end of the market, if you go the way all the way down, then comes this enormous Viennese flea market as a bonus. That's, for example, something. That's Vienna too. That's Vienna today. And it's beautiful. It's color. It's much going on.
And I want to get back to the markets, but I want to finish up the museums first. A couple other favorite museums?
I like a museum which is not seen by tourism at all, which is called the Neue Burg, which means a kind of the new palace, which is on the Hero Square. It's in the center of the Habsburg's main residence. But it's empty. The only thing you see on humans, it's the guards, the half-drunken guards which have to pass their life in this place. It's huge. It's the former planned Habsburg's guest wing, the Corps de Logis, and it was never finished. And they put in the Habsburg music instrument collection, their shining armor collection, and this huge parts of the Greek temple Ephesus, which have been brought to Vienna by the Austrian archaeologists in the late 19th century. It's an enormous museum. It's cheap, it's not much money, and you have all three museums in one, in this huge place. That's something.
Excellent. Now, you run a museum, and let's say that it is an unusual museum.
Yeah, I'm a little mad. I mean, I'm very lucky that my wife went through with the whole thing, because I'm a collector. And in the mid-1990s, I had a lot of British Americans with me, and they always asked me about the movie The Third Man. And I always had to say, you know, I'm from Vienna. We are not very familiar with this movie. This movie is considered not good in the city because it talks about things we don't want to really know about. The aftermath of World War II, the ruins and all these problems, the black market, the crooks and all that. In Austria, it was a flop, the movie. The music is very famous and very popular in Austria, this Seder music. But and then I felt a bit stupid because the tourists always said to me, you pretend to be a guide from Vienna and one of the most important movies of movie history shot in your city and you pretend not knowing it. And then I had to look at it a bit more carefully. Then I discovered this is a fantastic movie where you can reach a lot of levels, like history. You can talk about a part of history In Austria, we don't want to hear about it. We always say, it was all the Germans. And the Germans all say, it was all Hitler. And that the movie, The Third Man, gives me the chance to talk via a movie about a very difficult to handle time. It's not like a history lesson a professor gives you. It's via the movie. It's a complete new way of entering this level.
And so you went from not knowing much about the movie to now actually running a museum about the movie and that time of Austrian history.
Yeah, that's how the things are going. And I was very lucky. I could collect incredible items. I could collect fantastic, like all the film scripts and. It was just a good time the last 15 years. Many people, the collectors died, much came back on the markets, archives closed and sold and so on. So I got everything you can expect. It's
excellent.
Great. It's about 2,200 items. It's 13 rooms. And it has what I call a soul. It's not built up by an agency. It's not built up by the state or by party politics. It's just my wife and me. And we burn for that. And we don't let any institution in. We just do it on our own. We rather work a little more, so we don't need subsidies. And that's the way it works. And people are thrilled. People love it.
And before we go back to the markets, tell us where we can find your museum.
At the market. That's the great thing.
At the market. Well, there we go. Well, talk about your transitions. Now, you mentioned the market being a lot of international food as well. So
yeah,
that's part of the new that you mentioned. Now, when I think of Vienna and I think of international visitors, there was historically some visitors who were not as welcome. Vienna would be, of course, where the end of the Turkish invasion into Europe stopped, which we commemorate with the croissant, which a lot of people think is French, but actually Viennese.
Yeah.
So, but you've opened your doors a little more now to people from different areas. What is the best street food I should try in the market?
I go with you now virtually through the market. It starts with Chinese, Vietnamese, Indian, Mexican, Austrian, Greek, Turkish. I mean, it's virtually from many, many, many nations' food. Usually run by people from these countries. They came to Vienna and they got a stall at the market. It's often fresh, inflown food from the oceans in the morning. It's actually a fish restaurant, or simple, rather more expensive. It's incredible. It's like half a mile, only one stall after the other, but nicely done. And most time of the year you can sit outside. And it's nice. You have all this international mile, all these people out. It has good atmosphere. Naschmarkt.
And you mentioned a Naschmarkt. Oh, the eating market. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Okay. I've got you now. So you mentioned any times of the year. What is the best time of the year? What's your favorite time of the year for somebody to come to Vienna?
May, beginning of June, and maybe later September, beginning of October.
Okay.
First of all, this mass tourism is not here anymore. Mm-hmm. In the real summer months comes then boat tourism, these people,
oh, sure.
they do 10 Danube cruises, and they come then from the boats with the bus in huge groups to the city, and they run with guides through and so on. They're really present. There's a lot of it around in the inner city. But in the other months, it's rather individual tourism, which I like better. It's more interesting. It's people that they read guidebooks or they listen like to radio shows like yours, and so they get the inspiration. And then they are searching through. They want to find things. I like that kind of tourism.
Excellent. Best day of the year. And if you had to be in Vienna for one day and you had to leave the city for the rest of the year, what day would you pick?
Either short before the summer, before the heat.
Mm-hmm.
That's greater. Then you can enjoy the days when it's maybe only about 70, 80 Fahrenheit. That's nice, for example. I mean, the green is out.
But not one particular festival, cultural event.
I'm not so fond of wintertime, but what many people, and I know it from Americans, for example, do like, it's the December. From November 15 till December 24, because then in this city we have all these Christmas markets, these Advent markets. There's a bit of an inflation today. Huh? There are 15 large Christmas markets, which is already a little much, but still. Huh? And they have all these nice aromas and
so I'm smelling the mulled wine and the barbecued things.
All right. And all this trash and junk you can buy for Christmas under the tree. No, but it has atmosphere. It is picturesque. It's nice looking.
Excellent. Culture, music, we've talked about the opera house, but where would you put people in touch with both you talked about the old and the new, the old traditional music in Vienna, and then what is the new scene?
The ultra traditional would be, for example, places like the Musikverein, this famous Golden Hall, where you hear, for example, television every 1st of January, a famous Viennese orchestra, the Vienna Philharmonics, performing the New Year's concert. That's, for example, a classic. This great hall, this great acoustic. Opera House, great, because never on two evenings the same performance, which is maybe, in my opinion, not really a necessity, but that's what they do here in Vienna. So they work day and night on the stage set, change the one from last night to the one for tonight. Mm. And then they have 60 different productions a year. No other opera house really does that. And all right, you have all this kind of stuff. But then there's good information material. For example, you find it in the internet, on the page of Vienna Tourism Board. But you find it also very nicely when you are once in Vienna. You go to the tourist information, which is very central. It's just behind the opera house. Mm-hmm. You can't miss it. And there you have this little brochures for the month, what's on every day. And there you can see them. There's a lot of classical music, pop music, concerts, small pubs, bars, places with music, jazz music. It's really a lot. It's very hard to say now in your radio show this and this and this. Mm-hmm. It's changing every evening. In this club is the better music once. And it's often with jazz music, for example, it's often good people, internationally known people, but they often perform in smaller venues, whereas maybe only 200, 300 people in, that they like that. Mm-hmm. So there you have places like that in Vienna too. And we're talking now about really new experimental music or new pop music from all over the world. So, and also you have this, the big names, of course, but this is then in the big concert halls. But so in Vienna, I say sometimes when I talk to people, every night about 3-4 great events in Vienna, aside from the opera house and from the main theater and from the big classical music concert halls. So every day, 3-4 other events.
Excellent.
Which is a lot, I think, for a city. Vienna has not even 2 million people. It's not this huge city, mm-hmm. very expected.
I mentioned that I haven't been to Vienna. What's going to surprise me when I come to Vienna?
Wow. The unfriendly waiters in the coffee house. No, maybe.
You kid about that, but they have a reputation for that.
I think so. It must be, because I don't like it. But I know from tourists that think, oh, it's charming. Oh, this is really, this is unique. This is very special. I'm avoiding places like that, where they serve the food. They just don't spill it on me. They don't look at me. Maybe it is a kind of charm. Maybe, I don't know. Sometimes the waiters, when they're interviewed by Austrian television and so on, they say, in reality, I'm not like that. The moment I'm coming home, I'm a very friendly person, but it's required in my job to be like that, slightly arrogant, all right, if it's that. Very, very nice. What I think is one of the best things to do in Vienna, but for that you have to be a little sportive, is to rent a bicycle. Mm-hmm. Vienna is rather flat. It has a lot of bicycle lanes, and it's just great. With a bicycle, you can tour through the city easily. And if you get maps in Vienna, they recommend you bicycle tours and so on. You can go on the ring, for example, the circle. You can stop at every nice place, make pictures, and then you can move out a bit from the center. It's only on the bike with the bicycle about 5 minutes. Then you are in this so-called Prater area in the main central park of the city, about 4.5 miles long, nearly a mile wide, with first this huge amusement park and then coming all these fantastic green areas, forests and branches of old branches of the River Danube. That's with a bicycle just amazing. Lots of different shades of the city you go through in 2-3 hours.
Excellent. A favorite neighborhood to bicycle around as long as we're on our bike?
The inner city is, for example, great mm-hmm. with bicycle. I mean, it's special to move around the inner city, but very great is to ride on the Danube Island because Vienna has two Danubes. Mm-hmm. Because to avoid floodings, they created 40 years ago a second riverbed. Unbelievable. So when there's high water in Europe, floodings, you can be certain in Vienna, not a drop, because then they open the second river going through a so-called Danube Island, the division between the two Danubes. It's about 15 miles. And it's great. And there's a lot of little tavernas, beach bars, and it's just great to cycle. It's mainly asphalt-paved lanes. A lot of young people there, rollerblading and whatever. It has some great atmosphere. Bicycle. If you can bicycle, Vienna is a fantastic place.
Excellent. Finish this for me. You're standing in the most beautiful spot in Vienna. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
Pretty girls. Do you mean that,
well,
Chris?
Okay, so where do you stand to see the pretty girls in Vienna?
The real pretty ones. They are, where I mentioned, the Danube Island. There's an area called the Kopper, It's because it's only southern restaurants like Spanish and Portuguese and Greek and so on. And they have all this rhythm, the music, and they can be loud in the night because no people live around. And there, this young made up boys and girls go through, which they wear virtually nothing, this kind of showing their perfect bodies. And that's great. And they can sit in like in Greek restaurants, or and you can sit on in the beach bars and you have great music and you can see them walking up and down. It's fun. It's fun. This is, for example, one of the new areas that's the new in Vienna, the Koppa, they call it.
Koppa. Now, if I want to tell my wife that we're going to one of the most beautiful areas in Vienna, where would I take her?
Yeah, I would say you'd rather go with her to the pedestrian zones of the city. Mm-hmm. And there, if you love your wife, maybe go to the Kohlmarkt. Kohlmarkt is where you have all these fancy shops, you have these nice shops, you're like not only like Louis Vuitton and Gucci, but all the other brands, and buy her maybe a handbag for $3,000-$5,000. This kind of, your wife might be happy. Our finance minister will be happy. So this kind of.
Excellent.
Is that something for your wife, Chris?
No, she's way too practical to buy a $3,000 handbag or something like that.
Oh, great.
Any recommendations on places to stay?
Yeah, there's a lot of also new places today, which I like very much. For example, nearby the center, there are these boutique hotels now, as you call it. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in one I have very good experience with, it's the name is Rathaus. Rathaus means not Rathaus, it's the city hall in German language. Rathaus Wine Design. Every room there is dedicated to a winemaker of the Vienna area, because in Vienna there's a lot of wine production. Mm-hmm. And they get a bottle of this wine on the room, and it's a nice, nice hotel. It's fantastic breakfast. It's the best breakfast in town. And it's friendly people. I like that very much. I love to do city tours. I usually don't go like beaches and so on. I love if I come to a hotel where they're friendly to me. They don't have to embrace me and kiss me, but just be friendly and helpful. And these are the people there, young, friendly people, and a young spirit in the hotel.
Now, is there a traditional Ratskeller in the town, or is that...
Oh, yeah, we have things like that too, okay. Of course. Yeah, I mean, it's rather this kind of winery cellars. Mm-hmm. So you can get all this food, I mean, which tastes fantastic, like a lot of grease and garlic, this kind of food where you should go then to the forest and cut the trees. It's a little energy.
I can't say that I know what style of wine is popular in this region. I want to say that it's closer to the Rhine wine, the sweeter white wines.
Not at all.
Not at all.
It's exactly the opposite. No, here in Vienna, we don't... Ah, that's great. Thanks for asking me that. That's exactly what we Viennese don't like. We don't like this, what in Germany they call Lieblich and this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm, here in Vienna, we love the dry wines. Dry, like a little fruity, a little kind of fizzy tasting, these fresh wines, new wines. We don't like these wines to store for years. We drink them fresh within a year. In Vienna, there's the wineries, so they are named Heurigen. Maybe in the guidebooks you can see that Heurigen, which means in English, this year's, so the fresh wine. And mainly the white wine. The white wine gets better in Vienna because sure, we have long, warm season, but still, the red grapes, they need a bit more sun to get what we find in Spain and so on, like the Rioja wines. But in Vienna, the white wines, very, very good. Dry white wines.
And is there something traditional that I'm going to have with my white wine?
Everywhere where you can, like the wineries or wine bars, they have then special food with, but they go with wine, like special cheeses or maybe only olives or a little special oil where you can dip white bread in. And or if you go to the real wineries in the city or a little bit out in the green within the city, there you're getting this rich traditional food, dumplings and these meat lumps on your plate, which tastes sure delicious, but it's these days we try to avoid a little bit the real poison. I mean, we already have troubles with all our sweets, as I mentioned before, with all our tortas and cakes to survive.
Excellent. As we wind this down, I've got three traditional questions that I'll close with, but what else should we know about Vienna?
It's an easygoing city. Mm-hmm. If you're a bit aware that pickpocketing is existing in the world, if you're a little bit careful, then you will love the city. You will love it. It's just easy. It's not really expensive, I think. It's not cheap, but it's not one of the expensive cities in the world. When I'm with my wife and when I'm moving out to a little dinner outside with maybe one or two glasses of wine, we spend less than 50 euros. We're talking about nice food, and we're not saving money. We spend like 40 euros, 45 euros on a dinner, which is, I think, reasonable. And you have a lot of places like that. So This is what I like, for example, to move out in the early evening and to have a nice dinner. There's so many tavernas, so many places, very good restaurants.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Vienna.
The politicians, they're all crooks. They all get by. That makes me laugh. But no, how a person can be crazy like me setting up a museum all on his own. That's what can make me laugh.
Okay. Finish this thought. You really know you're in Vienna when what?
It's a little special vibration in the air. So it's not north, not south. It's not east. It's not west. It's somehow special. I mean, I traveled all over Europe several times, and I like to do city trips for 2-3 days. I'm doing it every month to another city and so on. I always compare. So Vienna is a good mixture, a good blend. And again, what I like so much, that it's all compact together, that you can walk everything which is important in Vienna from one site to the other, less than 5 minutes. So you don't spend so much energy going through huge streets from many blocks of buildings. So it's all around the corner the next, around the corner the next.
Excellent. If you had to summarize Vienna in just 3 words, which 3 words would you choose?
Very international city.
Excellent. Gerhard, thanks so much for coming on The Amateur Traveler and telling us about your love for Vienna. Where can people learn more about you and your museum?
Oh, in the internet. There's one thing you can Google, for example. You just put in Third Man Museum, and I'm number one because I'm the only one in the world.
Excellent. Thanks so much for coming on The Amateur Traveler.
Chris, thanks a lot, and good luck for your work.
I actually don't think I had any feedback from the community this week for a change, so we're going to end the episode of Amateur Traveler at this point. Remember to check out Viators for tours of Vienna or wherever you're going, amateurtraveler.com/tours. If you have any questions about this show, feel free to send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com or leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Chris2X. And as always, thanks so much for listening. Should be heading home, but maybe not today.